God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today we conclude the three-day series of programs from information found in Brother Hutchings' new book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. Today, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino will be talking about signs in the sun, moon, and stars, which no doubt you'll find quite interesting. Brother Hutchings, the book has been very popular.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. The first printing of this book is already gone, so we're doing a second printing. Now, regretfully, there were a few errors as always occurs, usually, in first printing, but if you noticed any errors, they have been corrected in this second edition. I think there were maybe a typographical error or two in it, and we apologize for that, but they've all been corrected. So we're going to be advertising this now through other ministries and also book distributors, and hopefully we can get a wider dissemination of it. But the first printing is already gone. It's been a tremendous response to this book. I know Dr. Kenneth Hill and I reviewed some of the chapters, but we just skimmed over them and could not pay a lot of attention to any one particular chapter. On the broadcast today, Dr. Spargimino and I are going to be looking at chapter number 22, Signs in the Moon, Sun, and Stars. Now, there's been a lot of concerns or interest in what the Bible says about signs and the moon, sun, and stars, because we're approaching now to the precession of the equinoxes. That happens about every 27,000 years. I think that's supposed to happen in 2012. Also, the so-called Mayan calendar runs out in 2012. So there's a lot of speculation about whether the world is going to end in 2012 or Jesus is going to come back in 2012. Well, we don't speculate on that, but we do give some correlating signs given in the Bible and also that are evident in heavens about us and in our own solar system. Now, we're going to begin by reading, of course, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament in the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let these be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now, we read in Psalm, also Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, regardless how many theories that men come up with concerning the existence of billions or trillions of years of the solar system, or billions of trillions of stars like our sun in each galaxy, or the star systems, or how many Big Bang theories are proposed, no one, and I mean no one, can explain the heavens other than, as biblically stated, that an almighty God created them. The only explanation the Bible gives for creation of all these trillions of systems is to prove the existence of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. How big he is. Who could have created them? Certainly, like the evolutionist theories, they just didn't one day spring out of a mud puddle. Now, our own solar system is composed of our sun, which is a medium-sized star. And by the way, Brother Larry, I think you have an article there that mentions that they found suns hundreds of times bigger than our sun.
Yes, there's a report from London. It says a huge ball of brightly burning gas drifting through a neighboring galaxy, maybe the heaviest star ever discovered, hundreds of times more massive than the sun. Wow, hundreds of times. One time would be a lot, but hundreds of times, that's quite big.
Yes, and our own solar system is composed of our planet Earth and the other planets around it. And some of the planets, like ours, have moons, one moon, or some have more. But in any event, all this is to declare the glory of God. and there is no evidence that life, intelligent or otherwise, exists on any other planet other than the Earth. We're talking about physical life, not spiritual life. Our own sun, like all of the stars, is a gigantic nuclear fusion, not fission, instrument that converts hydrogen to light, and from light comes heat. Now, our moon that revolves around our Earth reflects light from the sun upon the Earth. Therefore, we can understand God had a purpose in creating our sun, our Earth, and also our moon. We read that all these were also for signs. So God had a purpose in creating all this. Now, it may be difficult to understand the purpose for the other planets, but other than his word, that all the rest are to show forth the glory of God and for signs. Now, we know that at one time, according to the Bible, the sun stood still, or it could have been the Earth stopped rotating. We don't know, but anyway, we're told that it stood still, and another time it evidently even rotated backward, or our Earth turned backward. Now, what is difficult to comprehend is that the Earth rotates or travels at 1,000 miles an hour. It's 24,000 miles around. It travels at 1,000 miles an hour. Therefore, it takes 24 hours to make one turn. Now, at the same time, we're traveling at 100,000 miles an hour as our Earth revolves around the sun, and approximately 1 million miles an hour as our entire galaxy rotates, making a complete cycle every 26,000 years or so. Yet we have no consciousness of moving at any speed in any direction. Now, you know, it's amazing. We're traveling at three different rates of speed, yet we have no awareness that we're traveling at any speed at all. So, Brother Larry, God must have been a marvelous engineer to figure all this out.
Well, you know, Dr. Hutchings, when I go down a hill on my bicycle at 20 miles an hour, my shirt tails are flapping. So this indeed is amazing. And, of course, we know that at times some stars or suns, nova or supernova, supernova is when a star develops a nuclear problem and explodes in an unfathomable nuclear burst that scatters flaming nuclear debris for millions of miles across the heavens. A nova is when a star goes out of atomic control, becomes hot and bright for a period of 7 to 14 days. The atoms are stripped of their shells, and the entire mass implodes into a ball only a few miles in diameter, where the gravity is so intense no light can escape. That's just amazing to me. And of course, as we read of these things, they're called dark holes or a dark hole. There is the heat that is unimaginable, and for eternity, time would stop. Anyone would wait forever for the next second on the clock to tick. The dark hole corresponds to the biblical description of hell. What an awful place. The fall of all the towers of man that man has built will crumble at the time of the Battle of Armageddon and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you speak about that in chapter 9. And we read of a sign in our solar system that will just precede this glorious event. I want to read from Isaiah 30, verses 25 through 30. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. Now, at this time, God will heal the breach between him and Israel that occurred at the crucifixion of Christ, as explained in the same chapter of Isaiah, that's chapter 30, verses 8 through 13. As prophesied by Isaiah, the sun will be 7 times brighter, an indication of a nova. So naturally, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, the moon will be as hot or bright as the sun on an average summer day. We cannot begin to imagine how high the temperature will climb on the earth. There will be real global warming. That's the time of real global warming. And this could explain the burning up of all the grass and 1/3 of the trees in the Great Tribulation, as we have it in Revelation 8 and verse 7. However, it appears this nuclear disturbance on the sun will be only a partial nova, because after the Great Tribulation, the earth will become a peaceful and productive planet during the Kingdom Age. Following this period of extreme heat from the sun, it will go almost dark for a period of time, as indicated in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12.
Yes, and Dr. Spargimini, the scripture read from Isaiah mentions that when the towers fall, all this will happen. The falling of the towers is another sign. We remember the destruction of our own Twin Trade Towers, which was the tallest tower in the world at that time. But now there's another taller tower the Muslims have built over in their Saudi Arabia there. And they've built a tower, it's about a half mile tall. But according to scripture, that tower too will fall, because towers are a sign that man is putting his own power above the power of God. So all the towers are going to fall. And that's another sign that we're coming to the end of the age. But what you read concerning the coming of Christ in respect to the heavens is also confirmed by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30, where we read, quote, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, in studying the heavens, including eclipses of the sun and moon, we need to consider these to be relevant signs concerning the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, Jesus is coming again. Now, the September 23rd, 2008 edition of WorldNet Daily began with, quote, "Will Jesus Christ return to the earth in the year 2015? And by the way, I noticed a recent poll that reported in the Smithsonian that 41% of Americans believe that Jesus will come back by 2050, which, of course, would be in this generation or near the end of this generation. But this is amazing. It was an amazing poll. But this question was prompted by a Hebrew scholar, Mark Blitz, and we quote from the WorldNet Daily, "God wants us to look at the biblical calendar," says Mark Blitz. Now, we had Dr. Blitz on some months ago. Now, this pastor says, and we quote, "The reason we need to be watching is because he will signal his appearance, but we have to know what to be watching for as well. So we need to be watching the biblical holidays." Thus, Blitz began focusing on the precise time of both solar and lunar eclipses, sometimes called blood moons, since the moon often takes on a bloody color. He logged onto NASA's Eclipse website, which provides the precision tracking of these celestial events. He noted a rare phenomena of 4 consecutive total lunar eclipses, known as a tetrad. He said during this century, tetrads occur at least 6 times. But what's interesting is that the only string of 4 consecutive blood moons that coincide with God's holy days in the spring and the autumn feast of the tabernacle occurs between 2014 and 2015 on today's Gregorian calendar. Of course, the World Night Daily goes on to quote Blitz further, but all this means is that Dr. Blitz looked at the solar eclipses and connected them with feast days in Israel. Of course, he arrived at his own conclusion about maybe when the Messiah is coming. But we just introduced these, Brother Larry, for consideration.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hushing. Yes, we know some things for sure. Now, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle to the Circumcision, stated to the Jewish Christians some very interesting things. And I want to read from Acts 2, verses 19 through 21. "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Close quotes. Now, the conclusion that Jesus may return in 2015 is an opinion and probably no more credible than the prophecy that Jesus would come in 1988 that was given by Edgar Wissenant. Nevertheless, I think it's interesting and to be considered with all the other signs in evidence today. And we know that people are looking and people are watching. Even the most knowledgeable and experienced astronomers cannot assure that the Earth will not be destroyed by a cosmic disaster. I want to read from the Economic Times of March 12, 2010. It published the following report, and I quote it, "London, in what sounds like a chilling script of a Hollywood science fiction, scientists have claimed that an invisible star 5 times the size of Jupiter might be lurking near our solar system, occasionally kicking deadly comets towards the Earth. They believe the star nicknamed Nemesis, or the Death Star, could be hidden beyond the edge of our solar system and only emits infrared light." Close quotes. Wow, what a statement. Some star lurking at the edge of the solar system. Sounds kind of creepy.
Yes, of course, these are presuppositions that we just consider, of course, as being made by astronomers that have some credibility. But nevertheless, we do know that in 1859, a solar storm, a cosmic storm on the sun, was so powerful that fences and telegraph lines heated to red hot and burned the prairies. But that was nothing compared to what is predicted for 2012. And Brother Larry, this is just a couple of years away. Now, quoting from National Geographic of December the 20th, 2008, quote, "An unexpected thick layer of solar particles inside Earth's magnetic field suggests that a huge breaches in our planet's solar defenses occurs," scientists said. "These breaches indicate that in the next period of high solar activity, due to start in 2012, Earth will experience some of the worst solar storms seen in decades." And it goes on to say that the sequence we're expecting is just right to put particles in and energize them to create the biggest geomagnetic storms, the brightest auroras, the biggest disturbances in Earth's radiation belts. And they quote scientists from NASA. So it's all true. It could be that we're in for a tough time coming in 2012. So the gist of this is that astronomers are predicting that in 2012 and 2013 that we're going to have a tough time here on Earth because of these tremendous cosmic storms that we're going to expect, even worse than 1859.
Well, that is really interesting because it sounds so much like the book of Revelation. And of course, we know that God is the master mathematician. You've written a book on that topic. And I think it's interesting that scientists are now starting to look and consider. And you know, Dr. Hutchings, there's an interesting quote from inthedays.com website. It's from April the 13th, 2010. Let me quote it. It is midnight on the 22nd of September 2012, and the skies above Manhattan are filled with a flickering curtain of colorful light. Few New Yorkers have seen the aurora this far south, but their fascination is short-lived. Within a few seconds, electric bulbs dim and flicker, then become unusually bright for a fleeting moment. Then all the lights in the state go out. Within 90 seconds, the entire eastern half of the U.S. is without power. It sounds ridiculous. Surely the sun couldn't create so profound a disaster on Earth. Yet an extraordinary report funded by NASA and issued by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences in January this year claims it could do just that. And then continuing to read, it says the projections of just how catastrophic make chilling reading. We're moving closer and closer to the edge of a possible disaster, says Daniel Baker, a space weather expert based at the University of Colorado in Boulder and the chair of the National Academy of Sciences Committee. So he's highly credentialed. And then it goes on and says, the most serious space weather event in history happened in 1859. It is known as the Carrington event after the British amateur astronomer Richard Carrington, who was the first to note its cause. Quote, two patches of intensely bright and white light, close quotes, emanating from a large group of sunspots. The Carrington event comprised 8 days of severe space weather. There were eyewitness accounts of stunning auroras even in equatorial latitudes. The world's telegraph networks experienced severe disruptions, and Victorian magnometers were driven off the scale. Though a solar outburst could conceivably be more powerful, we haven't found an example of anything worse than a Carrington event, says James Green, head of NAS's planetary division and an expert on the events of 1859. From a scientific perspective, that would be the one that we want to survive. However, the prognosis from the NAS analysis is that thanks to our technological prowess, many of us may not.
Many of you, 100 of you, or thousands of you already have copies of this book, but there may be some of you who don't have one, and or some of you who have one would like additional copies to give to your fellow church members or maybe your pastor. So here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can do that.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. There are actually 3 ways to get the book: telephone, mail, or the internet. Number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. The website is at swrc.com. 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation is a 216-page book packed with intriguing information that'll help you better understand where we stand in relation to God's prophetic clock that's ticking down to the end of the age. It's offered in appreciation of a $20 contribution for those living in the United States, $22 for Canadians. You may want more than one. If so, call when operators are on hand to speak personally with you about the contribution amount for multiple copies. That would be Monday through Friday between 7:30 in the morning and 6 in the evening Central Daylight Time. This was the last program in this series, and you can get all 3 on CD or tape for an offering of $17 in the U.S., $18 in Canada, by calling, writing, or going online. Again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. This program is on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. Next over many of these stations is today's Bible in the News report. Join us Monday on your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting is Brother Noah Hutchings.
Jesus said within the context of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 that one of the signs of the last generation would be pestilences or pandemic diseases. There has never been a more deadly and destructive pandemic disease than AIDS. Yet AIDS is a politically protected disease. I have noted before that you can find out how many died this past year from stepping on a banana peel, but you can no longer find out the number who died from AIDS. AIDS is spread primarily through homosexual activity by a politically protected class. Our president has made June sodomite month and said they were the best people we have for government service. AIDS is more prevalent in Africa than on other continents, and while primarily a homosexual male disease, in recent years it has been spreading among females. According to a World Health Organization report, in 2007, the latest statistics available, in sub-Saharan Africa, 59% of females above 15 years of age are infected with HIV or AIDS. The last time I was in Israel, I turned on the TV in my hotel room. A program was showing titled The Late Great Black Race, which was related to AIDS. Worldwide, according to latest figures available, some 50 million have died of AIDS. In the United States, through the end of 2007, 583,000 plus have died of AIDS. And if we include 2008, 2009, and 2010, this figure would probably be over 1 million as AIDS is spreading exponentially. After getting AIDS, most live about 3 years. According to the AIDS Examiner, at the end of 2006, over 1 million victims of AIDS were living in the U.S. at that time, and since then, these would have died. According to the latest statistics, black Americans are 12% of our population, yet they account for 68% of the AIDS cases. Black teenagers, though only about 12%, of population of teenagers account for about 70% of the AIDS cases. These figures are related to 3 out of every 4 black children being born out of wedlock and have little, if any, supervision at home. The best thing that could happen to the family and especially the black citizens is to end all entitlement programs to unwed mothers on any new births as of January 1, 2012. This would also save the taxpayers billions of dollars. The Bible warns us that God cannot be mocked, and we are now reaping what our political leaders have sowed. But where are the pastors? They must also bear a share of the blame for not speaking out.
That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. To get a complimentary copy, call, write, or visit our website. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.